Thank you, girls. What a privilege to serve God. I was thinking there's a lot of young people here tonight. I just wanted to, after I got done with chapel the other day, I thought I shortchanged the young people. Didn't tell them about something that's happened in our lives in the last year. We've had a guy that I work with, son was killed in an automobile accident. But they're both Christian school kids, by the way, in Michigan. The one fella that died, there's two that have died. Another, our closest friend's son was killed also within the last year in an automobile accident. And the one was a soccer star, and he was really too cool to be a good soul winner, and he was too cool to be spiritual. And he died, and my family and I, we sang at the funeral. We cried with mom and dad. We sat in the hospital room while they took him off life support. And we watched him die. At the funeral, you know, the montage, the pictures, all the pictures. Everything was soccer. Soccer, 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 soccer. And it's hard. I was thinking about the young people out today. They're out winning souls. Amen. About doing something for God. The other young man died. He just graduated from Bible college. He was going to be a pastor. Loved life, loved the Lord. He died, and it's as though he's a hero. He's a soul winner. Going to be a preacher. Going to serve God. And he did so much before he died that really he did more than 90% of all Christians ever will do in their lifetime. And it's so much easier for his parents and his loved ones and for us than what it was for the soccer star. Well, they're both Christian school kids, and they both grew up in basically the same kind of church. I just want you young people to think about that when God speaks to your heart about going to the mission field, about being a preacher or a preacher's wife or a Christian school teacher. What is more important? I can tell you it's no comparison. No comparison at all. That wasn't part of the message. I just felt, ever since I spoke in chapel, I felt like I'd shortchange not telling you about that. Because I don't regret one day of my life that I've served God. Amen. And I was a high school jock, and I was on the wrestling team. I was actually on the wrestling team and the ski team at the same time in the winter. I was on the track team, and I was on the football team, and I started on all of it all the time. And you know what that means as far as eternity? Absolutely nothing.
Yes, sir. Amen.
But as I told you on Sunday, that first soul that I led to the Lord when I was in my mid-20s, I can remember it like it was yesterday, and I'm just as excited about it now than I was then. And the 45-year-old grandmother that got saved this afternoon in her house while she's watching her little grandkids, I'm excited about her getting saved. I'm excited about the young man that the soul-winning guys. Who are the guys who went soul-winning with me today? Would you stand up? Who went soul? Right there. Who else? Remain standing. But the other one skipped church. Where are you? They're out there somewhere. All right. Junior church. Oh, you got junior church going on. Okay. All right. Very good. Be seated. Those three guys, they're there. They're there for soul winning, and they got to see somebody saved. Amen? That's what it's about. It's about getting people out of hell. That's what this whole Haiti mission endeavor is about. Is about getting people out of hell. And I told you before, we found these preachers down in Haiti, and this school teacher down in Haiti. We found Brother Anada and Brother Fontecha and a school teacher by the name of Baker, and serving God down there in a place that's not so pleasant. And I really believe that it's our responsibility to help them. So I'm going to tell you first a little bit about our plan. I know you're already looking at your watches maybe, and you're thinking, man, he didn't have much time. And you're right, I don't have much time, but I think that God can, if you listen real intently, I think God can use this short time we have together to help you help Haiti. We met these guys, and Brother Fontecha is a very wise man. I call him the Jack Hiles of Haiti. And he's a very wise man, and he knows what affects people's hearts. And so he said to me, he said, Brother Siguart, you must go meet my preachers whose buildings have fallen down. And I said, well, I want to. Yeah, that's what I want to do. I want to get some photographs, and I want to get that information because we're going to need that when we get back to the States, and people are going to want to know. And my assumption was we get back to the States, and people are just going to give us hundreds of thousands of dollars, and we'd be back there and rebuild it in 6 months, and everything would be rosy. But, you know, not every church is like your church. Amen? And if every church was like this church, I'd be on my way back there already, and we would have never made it to this church. But the bottom line is that people have to let God affect their heart. And that's what I let Brother Lenny take me on a ride, and we went for a ride, and we looked at the first church building, and it was a young couple about the Marasco's age, or the Yetson, how do you say that? Yetses? About their age, yeah, that guy, yeah. Anyways, William's parents. That's easier. About their age, amen. And they're standing next to this pile of rubble, but it was a big pile of rubble. I mean, it was three stories of a pile of rubble, and it was as big as this auditorium or bigger. And I asked him, I said, how many people come to church here when the building was up? And he said, well, 500 to 1,000, depending on the Sunday. And they have no church. Young couple, graduated from Brother Fontecha's Bible College, they have no church building. They're meeting in a field. They're meeting under tarps. They've got a 60 by 40 tarp that they meet under. Then he took me to the next church building. And it was the same thing all over. And then he took me to the next building. And then it was the same thing all over. And finally, when we got into our eighth church building, I said, I think, you know, how many more are there? And there was, he said, well, they're further out. The rest of them are further out, and we couldn't get to them that day. And so we went home, and shortly thereafter, we got his building repaired. And by the way, they're meeting with 700 people in the building that we were able to repair with the money that we brought down and the money that FBMI donated. And you say, well, Brother Fontecha is not an FBMI missionary. You know, I don't really think FBMI cares. Or First Baptist Church cares what board you're out under. I think they care about what you're doing. Amen? And so we got that building repaired, and then we looked at all the other buildings that needed to be repaired, and then we came back and we raised some more money for a third trip. And we went back down again and we won more souls and we checked things out a little bit further and we delved into the aviation side of things because the preachers down there, they're not sitting on their hands. By the time we got back in July, they were already starting to rebuild some of the buildings. And they weren't building them the way I want to build them. I want to build them out of steel. I want to make them earthquake-proof. I want to make them hurricane-proof. I mean, I want them to have, they want them to look like this inside. But, you know, they don't care as long as they got a roof over their head. And they like to make things a little pretty and put a chandelier here or there. Other than that, they don't really care. They just want to have church. They want to be together and hear God's word preached. And so we went back down and we laid out a plan to reach Haiti through aviation. Brother Fenteche normally graduates out at least 10 Bible college preachers a year. And Brother Baker and Brother Anata had graduation when we were there. Brother Dan Baker, Hubbard was there and preached there, and I preached there, and we saw 9 graduate from the Bible college there in Gonaive. And these guys are well equipped to go out and start churches. These guys are ready to go. You've got Brother Bislarice down there that's in the Dominican Republic, but he's working in Haiti. He needs help. And I guarantee you that if he found out there was an airplane available to him at the airport in Port-au-Prince, that guy's going to want to do something with it. Amen? And so he needs help down there. Brother Fenteche needs help down there. Brother Anata needs help down there. There's 2 or 3 other missionaries that have contacted me from the area that are Fundamental Baptists that need help. And so I really believe that since we've got a line in there and we've got things rolling, that we need to keep on rolling. We need to keep on moving in. And I've been asked, what's your date that you're planning on going back in? And it basically isn't a date, it's an amount of money. And when we have the money, we'll go back in and we'll build some more. And we'll fly some more. And then we're going to come back and we'll raise some more money and then we'll go back some more. Of course, we need monthly support. I'm not saying we don't. But the bottom line is, it's an emergency situation down there. We're not talking about something that can, I can't stay here for 3 years and raise support. I've got to get back down there as often as possible in that 3 years to get the job done that needs to be done. And so we're going to continue to go down as often as is possible so that you know what's going on there. If you hear that we're in Haiti this month and back up on the road again the next month, and then we're down in Haiti for 3 months, we're back up on the road here for 3 or 4 months, that's what's going on. I know it's not normal. I know it's not the average missionary deputation process, but that's the best we could come up with. And so pray for us as we do that. And then I'd like you to turn to your Bibles to the book of James in chapter 1, verse 27. And as you're turning there, just want to say that if you've ever been over there, and some of you have, I talked to a gentleman this evening that's visiting. He's been over there, and he could attest to this. Ask him, if you or anyone that's been there, ask them how long it takes to drive about 65 miles. About 65 miles on Haitian roads. If you are really blessed and you're tired and getting knocked right off the front of the vehicle and nobody hits you, and you don't have a truck careen down the hill at you like we did and almost knock you off the side of the mountain, if you don't have all that happen, if you make it alive, it takes about 5.5 hours. About 5.5 hours to go 65 miles, and it's over very rough terrain. And it's anybody that's got any back problems or anything like that can't even make the trip. And it's just almost impossible to get anywhere in that country. And so that same trip I can make in 20 minutes in an airplane. Hinch is about 5.5 hours. I can make that in 20 minutes in an airplane. There's 21 airstrips in the country. According to Brother Fenteche, he's not sure that there's a good fundamental church at 15 out of the 21. So that leaves 15 possible church plants just near the airports. That's not counting what those guys will do if they've been trained by Brother Rick Martin, and then Brother Rick Martin, then Lenny Fontecha trains them like he was trained. Brother Fontecha's planted 40 churches. I hope you see the potential here. I mean, we could win Haiti to Christ. I mean, we fundamentalists could get the job done. And if we don't get the job done, the Muslims are standing in line. The Adventists are rebuilding. The Charismatics are rebuilding. The Catholics are rebuilding. Every other false cult under the sun is rebuilding. It's our duty as fundamentalists to get over there as quick as we can and as powerfully as we can and as wisely as we can and get the job done for these guys. I mean, we're not just talking about in this case these eight churches of starting new churches. We're talking about people that already had church buildings and they're knocked down. Now, the solution in America would be, and I don't think we quite grip what the deal is there, but in America, if this church building were knocked down by a tornado tomorrow, there's probably 10 empty church buildings in the county that you could move in the next day. Because people in America don't seem to be concerned about going to church anymore. But the people in Haiti want to go to church, and they have no place to go to church. I think that we really need to do something about it. You say, well, but they can't do anything for us in return. Well, the Bible says in James chapter 1 and verse 27, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. These people are afflicted. And I don't really care how you think they came about to be afflicted. I've heard every other idea how they got afflicted. Well, God, you know, they sacrificed a pig up there, or they did this, or they sacrificed to the devil, or they did this, or they did that, and they got what they deserved and all this. Well, I don't really believe that. I don't believe that's what happened at all. If that's what you believe, then understand this. Whether they brought it on themselves or whether it happened to them by chance, the bottom line is they're hurting just the same. You know, you shoot yourself in the foot or somebody else shoots you in the foot, it hurts the same. Amen? So we ought to help them. I mean, you come to the hospital and you got a bullet hole through your foot. You know, and you say, well, I did it myself. They don't tell you, well, go away. Yeah. Amen? They fixed the bullet hole. Now, turn again, if you would, please, to Ezekiel chapter 16. Ezekiel chapter 16. And I'm going to go as quickly as I can through several verses here. I just want you to get this down where God is. Understand where God is on this issue. And I'm going to start reading each time. I'll go 1648. 1648, as I live, saith the Lord God, Sodom thy sister hath not done, she nor her daughters, as thou hast done, thou and thy daughters. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy, and they were haughty and committed abominations before me. Therefore I took them away as I saw good. Now listen. If that doesn't describe how America is acting today, I don't know what does. Idleness of hands. Idleness was in her. And her daughters, neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. The people in Haiti right now are poor and they're needy and they need you. I had one fellow I was talking to that's thinking about retiring in the next year here in your church. And he was wondering, what am I going to do? What am I, you know... He didn't want to be idle. He knows what the Bible says about idleness. He knows what, you know, the dangers of idleness. And he said to me, well, maybe you could use me for a few weeks over in Haiti. Amen? Yeah. Oh, you bet we can. You bet we can. Get your plane ticket and get on over there. We're over there. Let's get to work. Amen? Yeah. Let's help them. Let's give the people, let's not be guilty of the sin of Sodom. Let's not be guilty of looking the other way when there's a need. so easy with the remote controls nowadays. The television, I guess, has a lot of pictures of kids that are starving and they're asking for money. And I don't know how much of the money that you give on television gets to the kids, but if any of it gets to the kids, I guess it's better than going and playing bingo or something with the money, or going to the bar with the money, or buying a videotape to watch with the money. But Jesus, in Luke chapter 4, if you would please, and again I'll start reading right away when I get there. Luke chapter 4 and verse 18, I'm going to read the first part of the verse. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the what? To the poor. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. I know young people have been getting it in chapel a little bit about one person mentioned a Camaro, and one person mentioned something else that young people want. But I'll tell you what, it's high time that the young people decide that they need to lay up their treasures in heaven. Where moth and rust doth not corrupt, where thieves cannot break in and steal. Amen. I mean, lay up your treasures in heaven. Amen. I'm guaranteeing you, I'm telling you right now, young people, there's some people in this room, and myself included, that have drove the nicest cars, lived in the nicest homes. We lived in a home that people drove by and stopped in front of our house and they took photographs of it on a regular basis, drove up in the driveway and offered to buy it from us on the spot. I mean, we've lived in nice places and drove nice cars, but I'm telling you, people ask, well, you gave all that up and you're living in an apartment in the church building. I said, I didn't give anything up. Oh, amen. Amen? Amen? I didn't give anything up. That's not... I'm happier now living in the... I'll tell you what, I don't have to caulk those logs and stain those logs anymore. Amen? Everybody wants a log cabin home. If you've got a log cabin home, amen. I'm glad for you. Hope you got lots of time to stain and caulk and all that. Anyways, but they're beautiful. And a big cathedral ceiling. We had a 20-foot Christmas tree in our house. Big old 20-foot blue spruce in there. Biggest blue spruce ever. Big old tree. I mean, but that takes a lot of lights and a lot of electric. Amen? Now we got a little 5-foot plastic one. No. But I'm just happy with the 5-foot plastic one is what I was with the 20-foot big old one. It burned up all kinds of electric. Probably lucky we didn't burn the house down. But I talked about on Sunday going outside your comfort zone. Getting outside your comfort zone. Look over to Luke chapter 14, if you would please. Just turn right over to Luke chapter 14. And I got to be winding this up. I know that. Just stay on board for a minute. Luke chapter 14, verse 12. Then said he also to him that bade him, when thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and a recompense be made thee. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee. For thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. Amen? Amen. Do you want your paycheck now, or do you want it when you get to heaven? Well, you can just pile stuff onto yourself right now and live the life of luxury. So, preacher, how'd you end up with that nice house and a nice car? So first off, I buy used cars that are real nice for about the price of an Escort. And I bought a house that a guy tried to build and couldn't finish it, and we put a lot of sweat equity in it and worked 15 and 16 hours a day on it for 3 months straight and got the thing to where you could live in it, and then went, moved inside, and then we finished it. Amen? That's how we ended up with it. I don't know how. We didn't go to the bank and borrow $500,000, that's for sure. But even so, if I can sell, but I put sweat equity in it and buy a church building with the money, which is the wisest decision? Which is the wisest thing to do with what God's given you? Don't let the devil cheat you. I mean, that's his game. Just, you got to have it now. Yeah. Got to have it now. Got to have it. Got to have it. Got to have it. Got to have it. You don't need it. If you don't need it, you don't have to have it. Amen.
Amen.
I mean, I'm glad to have nice things. Boy, I'm really happy to have that aviation headset, that A20 with the Bluetooth interconnect, so I can talk on my cell phone while I'm flying. It's safer, by the way. I don't ever hit anything up in the air. Amen. I hit a couple of coming over in the middle of the night, over an island, over the South Fox Island. And I was about 3,500 feet, and it was pitch black, not a star in the sky. It was so dark, you couldn't see anything but some lights through the haze down there to Charlevoix, and I'm flying over, and it's late at night, about 1 o'clock in the morning, and I'm flying all by myself. I'm going to work, and Sunday night, and leaving out. I didn't leave out until about midnight, and I'm flying over the lake, and boom! I hit that bird, and I'm telling you, that's you don't want to hit much in the air. But it's kind of shakes you up when you're over water, especially in the middle of the winter and cold time of year anyways. But don't let the devil shortchange you. Look over to Luke 14, just that last part again, 21 and the end of verse 21, chapter 14, verse 21. And bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. We have an opportunity in Haiti to live the Bible. You have an opportunity in your own town to live the Bible. We were in a section of your town that looked so hot. Guy had a big Rottweil, your dog, up on the roof, and it was just a woof, 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 a woof, 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 woof. And it looked like it was going to jump down on us like a mountain lion. And he stuck his head out the window. And I said, is that thing going to jump on us? And but, I mean, he didn't look so hot. Looked like maybe he was poor. Like maybe he needed the gospel. Amen? Yeah. And he didn't come down and get it, but maybe next time he'll be out on his front porch and you can get it to him. Amen?
Yeah.
There's poor everywhere. There's poor in Italy. You say, well, these guys are going to Italy. These guys over here are going to the Pacific Islands, Hawaii. There's poor in Hawaii. There's poor in Italy. You say, well, they're going to go over there where all the rich people are. I'll tell you what. Every place there's rich people, there's poor people. Somebody's the maid. Somebody's the butler. Somebody's the mechanic. Somebody's the plumber. Somebody's the... Oh, yeah, the plumbers are the rich guys. But but somebody's got to do the work. I mean, you go to Aspen, Colorado, and it looks all glitzy on the outside, but if you drive to the edge of town, there's 10 shacks that people live in. There's poor people in Aspen, Colorado. But we need to reach the poor. What's God promise? And I'm going to close with this. What's God promise if you're willing to go after the poor? Let me just share a few things with you and I'm going to close. Psalm chapter 41. Psalm chapter 41. Say, well, what's in this for me? If I go after the poor, preacher, what's in it for me? Blessed is he that considereth the poor. Chapter 41, verse 1. Blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive, and he shall be blessed upon the earth, and thou wilt not deliver him unto the will of his enemies. Amen?
Amen.
Now, blessed. You want to be blessed? Help the poor. You want to be blessed? Help the missionaries that are going to the poor. You want to be blessed? Get on the bus route. When you guys took your bus out, This Sunday, my daughter was on the bus. Why was my daughter on the bus? Because my daughter has never, ever, until this deputation process, ever not been on a bus on a Sunday morning in her entire life. Never. If she's sick, she's on the bus. No matter what. She's on the bus. I got pictures of her on the bus when she's a baby. And some of you can testify the same thing, that your children grew up on a bus. I'll tell you what, growing up on the bus for my three children didn't hurt them one bit. So I don't want to have my kids exposed to them kids on the bus. I'll tell you what, you show your kids the downside of sin and maybe they won't get involved in it. Let them go in the house. I'm not saying let them go in unsupervised. Take them in the house and let them see what sin does. Doesn't hurt your kids to see some poor folk that are laying in their puke. Doesn't hurt them one bit to see something if they're there to serve God and they're there for the right reason and they see something that they ought not see, they're not going to die from it. God will preserve them. You're looking at somebody that never had a television and never had the internet in the house and never had a video game ever, but I took my kids into everybody's house in town. I'm not going to bring it in my own house, but I'm sure not going to keep my kids from trying to help people that have been dragged down into sin by it. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 17, "He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and he and that which he hath given will he pay him again." Do you think God's going to owe you? Do you think God's going to owe you something someday? God's not a debtor to us. God's not a debtor. "He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again." Don't worry about your checkbook so much. I mean, don't write us a bounce check, by the way, but don't but get over having to have, "Oh, I got to have this much money here and this much money in this account and this much money on that account." Maybe you need to give some money to Haiti. Maybe you need to give some money to First Bible. Maybe you need to give some money, and you guys have been giving, but you've got a whole wall full of missionaries. Just choose any one of them, amen? And just give. Don't worry about not having money for a new snowmobile. "He that..." In verse 9 of chapter 22, "He that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor." And I can go on and on and on and on about verses and promises in the Bible about those that help the poor. The bottom line is, my wife and I would like you to pray for Haiti. And as you're praying for Haiti, I know you're going to pray for us, because you got a big investment out there already. Amen? You're already investing in Biz Larice. You've already invested in my wife and I, my daughter. I know that you're not going to forget that investment. I know that you're going to be praying for us. And if you can, we're praying and hoping that you can do whatever God lays, that you're willing to do whatever God lays on your heart to help us in Haiti. We thank you for having us here. We love you guys. We appreciate everything you've done so far and everything you're going to do for God. We're just excited to be here. And if you're here tonight, let me ask you this. Church service wouldn't be a church service if I didn't ask you this question. With every head bowed and every eye closed, nobody looking around. Every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around. If you're here today and you're 100% for sure, if you're to die right now, if you would have been in Haiti on January 12th in a church building like this, and it fell on you and you died, would you have gone straight to heaven? Do you know that for sure? If you know that for sure, would you lift up your hand that I might rejoice with you? All right, I see those hands all over the house, all over the house. They put your hands down. If you couldn't raise your hand, if you're not sure, if you're not 100% sure tonight that you're going to heaven, you're not 100% sure, there's no sense in faking it. Don't fake it. If you're not sure you're going to heaven, nobody's looking. I wouldn't embarrass you for the world. Nobody's looking, but just let me pray for you. Would you slip up your hand and let me pray for you? Anybody? I see that hand. Anybody else? Anybody else? Slip it up. I see that hand. I see that hand. Thank you for your honesty. That's right. That's right. Anyone else? Okay, put your hands down. The invitation song is played. If God spoke to your heart about salvation, or if God spoke to your heart about anything else tonight, whether it be about Haiti or just mission giving or or whatever the Lord's working on you about tonight. As the invitation song is played, the altar's open.
Everybody stand. If you're here tonight and you're not sure you're saved, we have folks up here to take a Bible and show you how to know for sure. If you die, you go to heaven. If you've never made that decision, I beg you to come and do it tonight. That's why we have missions conference, to give out the gospel. Certainly, if you're here and you've never been saved, you want to get saved tonight, you come. Or if God's spoken your heart about something else, maybe you just say, God, I'll do anything you want me to do. I surrender. God's dealing with you tonight, you come. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Any others need to come? Folks are here and praying. And if you need to pray about something, God's spoken to your heart, there's plenty of time. If there's a decision God's put on your heart, you want to pray, you come. Thank you. All right, everybody look up here, and we're going to go ahead and everybody just wait a second, and we'll announce decisions. But Brother Steve Pearson's